Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Ayin Beis. We begin about 13 lines from the top with the words Amar Rav Huna. It's a little bit above the start of the Tosos that begins with Dibro Maslo, Delo Nivdor. So, we begin Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna tells us a din, Dvar Torah. He says it's a din Doraisa. Moshuch, a person who has tried to undo their Bris Mila. In other words, they had a Bris Mila. Their Orla was mostly cut off, but there's always Orla that's still remaining, and they pull up the Orla. It's a process called epicircumcision, which essentially tries to reverse the circumcision, and they do this in a way so often they could mingle with the Goyim and not be recognized as being Jewish. This is what part of the Misyavnim, when we had by Hanukkah, when people were assimilating, so one of the things they did, they wanted to compete in the athletic games, which they completed in without clothing, so they didn't want to appear Jewish, so they would do this surgical type of a procedure, almost where they would pull up the remaining Arla. And in any event, this person is called a Moshuch. He's a person who tries to undo his Bris Mila. As Rashi says, he's Mahul, he had a Bris Mila. Shenimshech Arla, so he pulls up his Arla, v'chisaso es haTorah, and he pulls it up and he covers up the top of the Aver. So in this fashion, this person, Rav Huna says, is aser to eat Truma midivrehem. He's allowed midaraisa, Moshuch ochel b'truma, on a daraisa level, that's Dvar Torah. However, umidivrei midirabbanan gazru alav b'nei shenirik oral, because he looks like an oral, and therefore the rabbi said that he can't eat truma. So if a kohen were to have done this, or the kinyan kaspo of a kohen were to have done this, so then they wouldn't be allowed to eat truma midirabbanan. But Rav Huna says on a deraisa level, they would be allowed to go and eat. Now, Gemara questions this and says, we have a price and it seems to go against Rav Huna. That's the girsa that we have. The Braisa says that a person who is Moshuch, he tries to undo his Bris Mila, Tzorech Shimo, he's obligated to go and do a Bris Mila. That seems to imply that on a Daraisa level, he's even unable to go and eat Truma. And Rav Huna had said on a Daraisa level, he could eat Truma. So where it says, no, this is only, this Braisa is Midirabbanan. It's only telling us Midirabbanan. Now, the one who would ask this question obviously thought it was Daraisa. Why did he think it was Daraisa? Where it says, Udukari law, my Kari law. The one who asked this question against Rav Huna by bringing this Braisa clearly didn't understand this Braisa well. Why did he think it was talking about Daraisa and therefore the Akasha and Rav Huna? After all, it used the Lashon Hot Sarich Kitani. Rashi says that's a Lashon of Midirabbanan. Why? Because midelo kitani moshuch harei ze oral. It didn't say a person who's moshuch is an oral. The Braisa just says he has to do a bris mila, which implies that it's only on a derabbanan level he has to do a bris mila, because on a deraisa level he's not. And it actually is fully in accord with Rav Huna, and it doesn't argue with Rav Huna. What was the person thinking who brought this stira from the Braisa against Rav Huna? So Gemara says he made a mistake. Katoi b'seifa. He made a mistake in the second part of the Braisa. The Braisa continues and said, Rabbi Yehuda omer lo yimom ibnei shesakonu ilo. Rabbi Yehuda says that this person who's moshuch should not do a bris mila because it's dangerous if he does a bris mila. As Rashi points out in Dibur Masko shesakonu ilo, shemayase kurshavcha. By doing this bris mila, it could turn him into a kurshavcha. He could end up cutting off part of his aver, and as a result would be also lovel lekal, have all the terrible physical consequences of having a kurshavcha status. In any event, that's what the end of the Braisa says. Rav Yehuda says, don't let this moshuch do a bris mila because it could lead to trouble. But the Chachamim disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim said, no, Amrulo, falo harbe maldu bimei ben koziva. There were many people who had undone their circumcision. They tried to undo the circumcision by pulling up their orla. And during the days of Bar Koziva, which is Bar Kochva, so he made them not want to forget that they were Jews. And for, as Rashi points out, for 2.5 years he reigned as a king. He said the Goyim forced them to undo the circumcisions by this Moshuch process in the city of Beitar, Bechrach Beitar, Vigovra Yad Ben Koziva, Bar Kochva Ben Koziva, those victorious, Venucham Behem Venitzcham, and he fought with them and he defeated them. And for 2.5 years he was like a king. They're talking about the third commonwealth. V'chazru malu biyomav, and all these people that had been forced to have this epic circumcision, that had been forced to have this mashuch process done to them, so now they undid it by having a new bris milah. So you see that it's not dangerous, because halo harbi malu b'mei ben kosiva v'olni du'banim v'vanim, so it didn't cause them to become a kur shavcha. They then had children subsequently. They were able to have children, so obviously it didn't do them any damage. Now how do we see what sounds like it's the araisa, which is the, again, the person who would ask the question on Rav Huna, he made a mistake and thought it was the Raisa. That's because the second part of the Raisa seems to say, Ovi Yishenemar, Himol Yimol. The Pasuk seems to say a double Lashon of Himol Yimol, Afilu Me'opamim. In other words, you can have a Bris Milah more than once, which means that if you undid the original Bris Milah, you could have another Bris Milah done. And then it tells us the second reason. For Omer, it also says, Es Brisi Hefar. This is a different pasuk. It says, "V'arel zochar shelo yimol es v'saro l'so v'nichusan nefesh hime amel es brisi hefar." This lashon of es brisi hefar is coming to teach us lirabos es hamashuch, that this person who is mashuch has not done a bris milah. In other words, he has to do a bris milah. So we have two pasukim, yimol yimol and es brisi hefar. So obviously the question is, why do you have to bring the second pasuk? My v'omer, why did the Braisa bring a second pasuk? So the Gemara says, because in case he wanted to suggest a different understanding of the first pasuk, v'chitema ha'himo yimol l'rabos tzitzin ha'makmes ha'mila, the fact that it seems to say you have to do a bris milah again, that's because there could be the flesh that you didn't cut off from the arla, the tzitzin ha'makmes ha'mila, that's what it says, himo yimol. You have to go do that part of the bris milah again, because it wasn't a real good bris milah the first time. So therefore, you can't definitely tell me, himo yimo comes to teach me the moshuch. Therefore, toshma, you have the second pasuk as brisi efa, l'rabos as a moshuch. Okay, this is the second part of the braisa that unfortunately was misunderstood by this amora who was questioning Rav Huna from this braisa. Now, what was his mistake? He thought, hu savar mi dekarnosiv lo hashas kro, since the braisa teaches us over here that there's a pasuk that it's based upon, himol, yimol, and esbc afar. So this amora who was questioning Rav Huna thought that this braisa is telling us a din daraisa. He thought the psukim were daraisi, and that's why he said, this braisa goes against Rav Huna, who says the mashuk is allowed to eat midaraisa. This braisa seems to say that the mashuk is not allowed to eat daraisa. That was what he thought, but lohi, that's wrong. Midarabanan, this braisa is only midarabanan. I brought psukim, himol, yimol, and esbc afar. This wasn't a real Torah source. This was in a Din Daraisa. It's a Darabanan, and these psukim are in a smachta to the Din Darabanan. Okay. Mark continues and says, Meisve, got another question against Rav Huna. It says in the following braisa, Tumtum ein ocha betruma. It says a Tumtum, again we've mentioned many times, a Tumtum is a person who has unclear genitalia because he has some sort of a membrane covering up his genitalia, and we don't know if he has Zacharus or Nakvus underneath this membrane. Is he a boy or is he a girl underneath this membrane? I mean, you can't tell. So a Tumtum ain ocha b'truma. He's not letting truma, as Rashi says, because shemo imhoya nikra, if this membrane was ripped, yimotzi zocher, it would turn out that underneath the membrane he was a zocher, and therefore he's not circumcised by reyu orel, and an orel is not allowed to go eat truma, as we learned previously. And then the braisa adds, noshov, his wives. The Gemara is going to question, how could he have a wife? How does the person who's unclear if he's a man or a woman go and take someone in Kedushin? So we'll explain this momentarily in the Gemara. We'll leave this for a side. Avodah, that's certainly easy to understand. Even a Tumtum can own Avodim. So his wives, we'll see what that means, and his servants are Kinyan Kaspo, and therefore Oakland are allowed to go and eat Truma. So he himself can't eat Truma, but since he's definitely a Kohen or a Bas Kohen, either way, he's definitely a Kohen. So in this situation, his property, his Kinyan Kaspo, are allowed to go and eat Truma. However, the Braisa says, Moshuch, if somebody is a Moshuch, this person who had a Bris Milah and then tried to undo his Bris Milah by this Moshuch process, or a person who was born without a Bris Milah, so we hold that you have to do Hatavas Dan Bris. So therefore, both of these situations, are they considered like an Orel, or are they considered not like an Orel? So the Braisa says that the Moshuch, Vinola, Kishumol, Hare Elu Ochlin, they're not considered Arelim. Both of them, according to this Braisa, are considered that they have a Bris Milah. The Moshuch, because he once did have a Bris Milah, and the one who's Nolad without an Arla, is as if he has a Bris Milah. And therefore, they're allowed to go and eat Truma, according to this Braisa, according to this Tan of this Braisa. However, androgynous, now an androgynous is another person with an unclear genitalia, And androgynous is different than tumtum. Tumtum has a membrane, as we said, covering up his genitalia. The androgynous has both simone zachrus and simone nakvus. So we're not sure, is he a man, or is he a woman, or is he a birium of neatzma? Is he a third gender, so to say? A separate category called androgynous. So an androgynous, ochel b'tshuva, he's definitely allowed to eat tshuva, because, as Rashi points out, you do a bris milah on this androgynous, on whatever zachrus he has, and therefore he can eat truma. So, mimad of shach. If he was a man, so then he's mal. If he was a woman, he didn't need to be mal. Ben shuish, ben shuisha, ben shu biria b'neatzma. Or even if you say that it's a separate biria, zaru shokoinu. He is definitely a zaru shokoin, and he's not an aro, because whatever he has, a simone zachrus, had a bris milah, and therefore he's allowed to eat truma. However, v'ein ochel b'kotchim, but he can't eat kotchim. Now Rashi points out what kotchim we're talking about. We're talking about the type of kotchim that only pirchei kuhuna can eat, only male kohanim can eat. So here, he may be male, but he may not be male, and therefore he can't eat, for example, from kotchei kodoshim. So only zichrei kuhuna, pirchei kuhuna, are allowed to eat kotchei kodoshim. For example, achatas or anoshim, or the shrayim from a mincha. So all of those can only be eaten by pirchei kuhuna. So therefore, he can't eat that. Tumtum, then the Braisa again mentions Tumtum, and the Gemara will have to explain this part as well. It has to explain what it means, Noshav of the Tumtum, then it has to explain why it's telling us the same thing. Above it just said, Tumtum ain't ochel b'truma, and now it tells us again, Tumtum ain't ochel lo b'truma, but it adds on the lo b'kachim, and also can't eat kachim as well, but for the obvious reason, because he may not be male, and only Pirchei Kahuna can go and eat kachim. But why did it say it twice, and what does it mean, Noshav? That we still have to get to. But now we ask the question from this braisa on Rav Huna. Again, Rav Huna had said that Moshuch is allowed to eat the rice, and it's only the Rabbanan he can't eat. Tani Mias, it said here in this braisa, Beferish, Moshuch v'nolat kishumol, it said that the Moshuch, or a child that was born already circumcised, hare elu ochlin. And this seems to go to Yofta, the Rav Huna. It seems to go at Kash on Rav Huna. That's the girsa that we have. It's a Kash on Rav Huna because he said that the Moshuch is not allowed to eat Truma on a deraisa level, only can eat midrabbanan. So this seems to go against that. Here it says that they can eat, and it seems to imply on a deraisa level. To yufta, the Rav Huna, to yufta. So this seems to be a to yufta on Rav Huna. Now, Rashi has a lishna achrin over here where he says, no, don't be goris over here to yufta, the Rav Huna, to yufta. Instead of saying meisve at the beginning, this was lema messiahle le Rav Huna. That this actually is coming to being a riot. This is the way Rashi actually refers to learn the Gemara, because Rav Huna had said only on a daraisa level are they allowed to eat. It's only midrabbanan that they're not allowed to eat. And this statement over here, Moshuch v'nolat kishumol, is talking about on a daraisa level they're allowed to eat. That doesn't go against Rav Huna. That's in fact in full accord with Rav Huna. So therefore, Rashi prefers this second explanation, and that it's actually a raya to Rav Huna and not a kasha on Rav Huna. And Rashi says why he prefers this, because we're going to say in a moment, Leimu ketanoi, that there's a machlokes tanoim about this, that one says it's daraisa, the marshal can't eat, and one says daraisa he can eat, it's only midrabbanan he can't eat. So if you say that this is Leimu Messiah, so here we have an opinion that agrees with Rav Huna, and therefore there's another opinion that disagrees with Rav Huna. In any event, we now are done with the braisa for being a kasha on Rav Huna, but we had the two internal problems that we have to explain now. Amamai, we go back and quote part back of the braisa. The first part it said tumtum eino ochel b'truma, and then it said noshav va'avadav ochlin. The tumtum can't eat, but his wives and his avadim can eat. Now avadim, we said, was no problem, but noshav l'tumtum minole. How can a tumtum possibly have a wife? After all, we're not sure if he's a man or if he's a woman. If he's a man, he could be mekadesh a woman, but if he's a woman, he can't be mekadesh a woman. So Gemara suggests, Ilema de Kaddish, if you're telling me that this tumtum actually gave kiddushin, he said, Ariat mekudeshesli b'tavazu kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. This tumtum gave a woman kiddushin. He gave her a ring, and she accepted it, and that's what we're talking about. The Tanya and the Braisa seems to support this, because it says tumtum shekidesh. If a tumtum gave kiddushin to a woman, kiddusha of kiddushin. In fact, we're machmir to say that the kiddushin are kiddushin. In other words, this woman in this situation would be prohibited, if she got divorced from this tumtum, to go and marry any of this tumtum's relatives. So that's the nafkamina over here to say the kiddushav or kiddushin. And likewise, if this tumtum accepted kiddushin, again, the tumtum might be a woman, and this tumtum accepted kiddushin from a man, niskadesh, so then kiddushav kiddushin in this way as well. So this man would not be allowed to marry any of the female relatives of this tumtum. So the Gemara says, let us say that clearly this tumtum can have kiddushin. But the Gemara says, no, This is Eimer the Omar Luchumra. In all these situations, it's Luchumra, that the person who gave the Kiddushin, let's say to the Tumtum, who thought that she was a woman, so he's forbidden to marry any of her relatives. That's Luchumra. And likewise, the Tumtum who gave Kiddushin to a woman, so that woman wouldn't be allowed to marry any of the Tumtum's relatives, because we go Luchumra in both of these situations. But Lakula, to say that the Tumtum actually married this woman and that she can now eat Truma, the Tumtum was a Kohen and he married this Bas Yisrael and she can now eat Truma, that's a Kula. Lakula Miyamrinan. Because, Sofik Ishahu. Because in fact, maybe the Tumtum is an Isha. And certainly, of course, Ve'ein Isha, Mekadesh is Isha. And a woman can't be Mekadesh another woman. It's absolutely impossible. So therefore, that can't be how we have to understand it. It can't be Nosha means his wife. So Amar Abaye says, you know what we're dealing with in the Reisha of this Braisa, when it tells us that Tumtum ain't Ochel Truma, but Noshav Yavod of Ochlim, it's talking about a Tumtum Kishu Beitzav Nikoros Mibachutz. His gid is covered up, but he clearly has Beitzim, he clearly has testicles, and as a result, if his Beitzim are visible, so then he's Vaday a man. And granted, he can't have a bris milah because there's the membrane covering him up. That's why the Tumtum ain't Ochel Truma, because he's an RL. He's a male, but he's an RL. But therefore, if he's a Vade male, so then he can give Kiddushin, Abaye says, and the Kiddushin Ochal, because he definitely is a man, and therefore, Noshav, the Avod of Ochlin. That's Abaye's understanding. Rav is a different teretz. Rav says, my Noshav, what does it mean, Noshav? It means not his wives, it means his women, in the general sense of Noshim. And who is this referring to? Imo. It means his mother. So, the Tumtum, who is the child of a Kohen and a Bas Yisrael, and if the Kohen dies, so the presence still of the Tumtum in the world allows his mother, the Bas Yisrael, to still continue eating Truma from the status of she has lineage still, she has progeny from her husband, the Kohen, who passed away. So where it says, Pshita, Imo Pshita, that's clear. Why would you think not? Why would he be different than any other child? So where it says, no. I might have said that the only time that progeny can allow the mother, the Bas Yisrael, to still go and eat Truma as being progeny from the Kohen, that's if that progeny can procreate. I would have said, Molid Machil, because the Pasuk says, Yilid Beso. So I would have said that somebody who can further propagate, so they can go and be Machil, the mother, the Bas Yisrael, to still be the status of a lineage of Kahuna. But She'eino molded, if the Tumtum cannot give birth, the Tumtum can't procreate, so then eino machal. You would have said that the Tumtum doesn't count. So it's not so pshita that he could allow his mother to still eat as his progeny from the dead father, the Kohen, and the Bas Yisrael mother is still having lineage. So I wouldn't have known that. I would have said maybe not. So Kamash Vulan, so the Chiddush of the Braisa is to teach us that. So this is our Abaye and Rava, two separate answers, understand the Nosh of the wise, or the mother, really, according to Rava, of the Tumtum. Now, we still have one problem. Why did it repeat Tumtum at the beginning and Tumtum at the end? And the way we're going to answer this is actually following up on this Machlokas Abaye and Rava, and that's going to lead us to understanding why it said Tumtum twice. Now, Toshma, we bring the Braisa down, the one we just learned, and it says, Tumtum eino ochel lo b'trumah v'lo b'kashim. At the end, it repeated again. The beginning said, the Tumtum eino ochel b'trumah, and then at the end it says, Tumtum eino ochel lo b'trumah. That it taught us that already, but it ends on v'lo b'kashim. It ends that he can't go and eat the chatas, the osham, the shrayim of the mincha, the things that are only by pirchei kuhuna, only by zichrei kuhuna, male kohanim are only allowed to eat them. So we understand Bishlomala Baye, we understand why he had to mention the din of Tumtum Eino Ochel B'Truma twice, because the first time, Tana Reisha or Ovadai, it's talking about when the Beitzim were Nikaris, they were visible from the outside. Kishu Beitzim Nikaros Mibachutz. So Abaye says that's the Reisha, and the Seif it's talking about when it's a Safek, they weren't visible. So Tana Reisha or Ovadai, the Tani Seifa, Safek Arel. So that's why we understand, according to Abaye, very clearly, they're two different things. When it says in the first place, Tumtum in Ochel B'Truma, that's talking about a Tumtum that is Beitzav Nikaros Mibachotz, and yet he still can't eat Truma because he's an Arel. And then in the Sefer, when it says that Tumtum Eino Ochel Lo B'Truma V'Lo B'Kachim, that's talking about even a Sofek, whether he's male or female. So we don't know, because the membrane is covering up everything, and the Beitzim aren't Nikaros. So that's a Sofek Orel. Maybe he's a woman, and then he's not an Orel. So nevertheless, we don't allow him to go and eat Truma or Kachim. Now, that's perfectly good according to Abaye's understanding, but we have a problem. Elul Rava, according to Rava, Rava said that Nashav of the Tumtum meant that it was the Tumtum's mother, so therefore there is no Beitz of Nikoros Mibachutz Teretz like Abaye had. So therefore, according to Rava, we have a problem. Elul Rava, Tumtum the Sefer Lomeli. It's exactly the same thing as the Reisha. Why did it repeat it again in the Sefer? Granted, it taught us about Kachim, he can't eat Kachim, so just say he can't eat Kachim. So the Gemara says, my tumtum. What does it mean, tumtum, in the last case when we said that the tumtum can't eat either truma or kachim? It's talking about an orel. It's talking about not a tumtum. It's talking about a person who's an orel. So the Gemara says, if that's true, hashta sofik orel lo ochal. According to you, Rabba, the Reish is talking about a sofik orel. It's not Beitz of Nikaros. It's talking about, we don't know this tumtum. Is it a boy or a girl? So it's a sofik orel. So if the Reish says that a sofik orel can't eat, so then, Vaday Oral Ochil? Would you need to tell me in the Sefer that a Vaday Oral is allowed to eat? Of course not. So therefore, we wouldn't have had a Havim to say that the Vaday Oral can eat. So why are you telling me that the Vaday Oral can't eat? Again, if the Reisha, which is a Sofik Oral, can't eat, so of course the Sefer, which you're saying is a Vaday Oral, of course they can't eat. Why does the Braisa have to tell us that? So Mar says, no, it's really all one explanation. It's one case. It's not two cases. Ma Tam Komar, the Sefer is explaining the Reisha. The Reisha said, "Ma tam tumtum ein ochel b'truma." The Reisha was this sofek man, sofek woman, tumtum, so he's not allowed to eat truma. Why not? Because mipnei she's sofek arulu, because maybe he's a man and therefore he's not circumcised, because his membrane is covering up his aver, and there's no way to do physically a bris mila. So therefore, he's a sofek arul, and that's why he can't eat truma. Now, why can't a Sofik Arel eat Truma? Because the Arel ain't no Ochel, lo b'Truma, lo b'Kachim. And that's because if he were a real Arel, he wouldn't be allowed to eat Truma or Kachim. So a Sofik Arel, that's what the Tana this Bryce is telling us, that a Sofik Arel has the same din as a Vaday Arel. So that's, it's not two cases. The Reisha is Sofik Arel, the Sefer's Vaday Arel. It's the Reisha is the case. Sofik Arel can't eat Truma. Why not? Because a Vaday Arel can't eat Truma. That's what the Sefer is telling us. So certainly then, even if you're a Sofik Arel, you can't go and eat Truma. You're like a Vaday Arel in that situation. Now, Leimo Ketanoi. Now we finally go back. I said before, the Rashi's preferred pshat was that there is a machlokas between the opinion of Rav Huna, which is based upon Tanoic support that we brought down, and other Tanoim. So therefore, as Rashi says, let us say over here, Neimu Ketanoi, this is Milsa de Rav Huna, where he said on Daraisa level, a Moshuch can eat, but on a Darabonu level, he said he can't eat. So this is a Machlokis Tanoimi. Tanoihi. Ihevi Moshuch Daraisa or Darabonin. Is the Moshuch allowed to eat on a Daraisa level, like Rav Huna said, and it's only on a Darabonu level that he can't eat? Or is it a Din Daraisa, he can't eat as well? Leimu Ketanoi. Let us say this is a Machlokis Tanoi. Where is this from? Because it says in the following Braisa, Moshuch, a person who's Moshuch. Now, some are in Goris, the words Vinolat Kishumol, that's in parentheses, and in the Saras Hashas Os Tes, he brings down that the Marshal was erasing this, Mochakseh. So we don't read the words according to Marshal, Nolak Shumol, when a baby is born already Mohol, he has no Orla. So we delete that according to Marshal. So the Moshuch, the Gersh in his Gair, a guy who decides to become a Yid and he converts, but he already had Kishumol, he already had a circumcision. When he was a guy, he didn't have a bris mila, but he had a circumcision. So there's nothing left to go and circumcise. Begirish in his guy, shumol. And likewise, the katan sha'avar's mano, a child who was supposed to have his bris mila on the eighth day, didn't have the bris mila on the eighth day, so he's past his mind that he was supposed to ideally have his bris mila. And then the Braisa says, Ushar kol ani molim, and likewise, anybody else who was supposed to be circumcised, all of these people, the moshuch, the even the nolat shumol, has to have a tovas dan bris, the Gerish and his guy Shumol has to have a Tavas Dan Bris, the Kaddish of Mizmano, so he didn't have the Bris on the 8th day, he's supposed to have it then on the 9th day, the 10th day, the 50th day, the 50th year, whenever you can, he's Chayiv Karis, if he doesn't get a Bris Mila. So the Kaddish of Mizmano, Ushara Kolimulim Lasuye, what? To add on what then? It's Bishyesh Loshte Orlos, the person that has two Orlos. So Rashi over here says he has a Beis Oros, he has a double Orlo, he has an Orlo on top of an Orlo, Zu Al Gabe Zu. So that's one definition of Shtei Orlos. However, you look in Os Chof in the Mesoros HaShas, where he tells you, go look at the Rashi in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, and Rashi there says he was born with two Avers. He was born with two male organs, so each one has its own Orla on it. In any event, all of these people are obligated in Bris Mila. This is what the Braisa says. So, the Braisa says, that all of these people are obligated in having a bris milah, and eina nimolin ella bayom, and you're only allowed to do this bris milah during the daytime. This is based upon the pasuk uvayom hashmini yimol besar olaso. During the day of the shmini, you have to do the bris milah. You can't do it at the nighttime. Others bring down a different pasuk uben shmonas yomim yimol lahem lochem kol zohar. So it's Shmonas Yomim, on the eighth day. So, in any event, we learn out from here that if the Bris Milah of all of these people needs to be done, it must be done during the daytime. Now, Rabbi Elazar of Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Elazar, who's the son of Rabbi Shimon, he says, Omer Bismano, I agree with you. If the Bris Milah is supposed to be done Bismano on the eighth day, and we turn to Ayin Beis on with Beis, so then, Eini Molin El Bayom, I agree with you. Then you don't do the Bris Milah except during the daytime. You can't do it at the night of that day. You must do it during the actual daytime. However, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says, Shelo bizmano, if the bris milah is not done on the eighth day, nimolim bayom uvalayla, then you can do the bris milah anytime. If it's not the eighth day, you can do it the 27th day, but you do it at the night of the 27th day. You don't have to do it during the daytime. Now, what is the smachlokus? The Tanakama here says that it has to be done during the daytime, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says that it can be done if it's not bismano, even at night. So, what are they arguing about? So, Gemara says, "My love, aren't they arguing on this machlokes, this exact point?" The Mar Savar Moshuch Deraisa. The Tanakama says that a Moshuch is obligated midaraisa to bris milah. That's why it must be done during the daytime. Whereas Umar Shavar, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon holds that the Moshuch is allowed on the Daraisa level to eat Truma because he's Mol, and it's only Midrabanan. It looks like he's not Mol, so therefore the rabbis instituted the Gzeir over here, you better do a Bris Milah. So isn't this Machlokis Tanoim over here, the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, exactly paralleling what we had said, that Rav Huna holds that it's on a Daraisa level Mutter, and that there's this other opinion that says that on a Daraisa level it's Aser. So this is the Machlokis Tanoim. Shmuel says, really? That's what you really think? The Tizbra? Is that your Svara? It says in this Braisa, Katan Sha'avar's Mano. There's a Katan that is past his time, the eighth day. Umik Alman Diyamar Dirabanan. Does anybody hold that that's a Din Dirabanan? Is that really what you're saying over here? That this Machlokis is Daraisa versus Dirabanan? So, the Katan, who's not having a Bris Milah on the eighth day, is absolutely Mechuyev to have a Bris Milah mid Daraisa. So it can't be saying that one says it's the rice and one says it's the rabbanon. Ella, in fact, the kuliyamo moshuk the rabbanon. Both the Tanakama as well as Rulazar Rav Shimon hold that the moshuk is only obligated mid the rabbanon to have a bris milah. Mid the rice, he can eat truma. He's mohu. And the rabbi said it doesn't look good, so therefore you better have another bris milah. But both of them hold it's the rabbanon. So what do they argue about? The katan sha'avras mano daraisa, because obviously the katan that's past the eighth day is still an obligation to go and have a bris milah daraisa, and they're arguing about the following: v'hocha v'hocha miflegi mar sava darshinan uvayom hashmini, and the other one says umar sava lo darshinan uvayom. What does this mean? So Rashi explains, very top Rashi, Tanakama holds that the vav yisera the motzi limichtav. You could have said Bayom Hashmini Imol Bisaro Laso, but it says Uksiv U Bayom Hashmini Lasuye Milo Shelo Bismana, to come to include a Milo, even if it's not done at the right time, it's done after the eighth day. Nevertheless, it has to be done only during the daytime. The Alpha Gav the Moshuch Mehochalo Misrabi, Domid Rabbanu. So obviously the Moshuch can't be learned that from this Pasuk because it's only Din the Rabbanan. Nevertheless, Rashi says at the end of this Rashi, Hainami tiknua rabbanon ke'en daraisa. When the rabbi set up their dinam, that this moshuch has to have a bris milah, they patterned it after the darasha daraisa, which is ubayom. That means that everybody has to have the bris milah during the daytime. You can never have a bris milah, even if it's not bismana, during the nighttime. They all must be during the daytime. That is the Tanakama's opinion. And therefore, one opinion holds ubayom. And the Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, Umar Sova Lo Darshina Bayom, as Rashi says, the Lo Gamina Mine Katan Sha'avar Zmano, the Nimo Afilu Balayla, and the Katan, who's past his day, could even have his Bris Milah at nighttime. The Kosha came Moshul the Rabbanu. If the Daraisa Katan obligation after the 8 days is allowed to be done even at night, according to Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, so certainly the Darabanan Moshul obligation could be done at night as well. So that's the Machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. And I'll show you that this is right. The one says, "Ki hodi Yosef Rav Yochanan v'chadorish." One time, Rav Yochanan was giving the shir, and he was darshening as follows. He said, "Nosar bizmano eino nisra fel bayom." If you have nosar, nosar is a carbon that is past its time to be eaten. For example, Shlomo Rashi says, can be eaten for 2 days and the night in between. So after that, which would be the second night, you're not allowed to eat anymore, it becomes nosar. But you're not allowed to burn it at night. You have to wait till the next day to burn it. So eino nisraf ela bayom. It can't be burned at the first opportunity, which would be the second night, but you have to wait till the full next day. So that's if it's biyom, that it was supposed to be burned. Shalom bismano, if you didn't burn it the next day, so then you could already burn it the next night after that. Nisraf bein bayom bein malayla. So that is what Rav Yochanan sat and darshined. Along comes his Talmud, Rav Elazar ben Pidos. Now he's an Amora, which was important for this discussion. The Eisrei Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos le Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos goes and tells Rabbi Yochanan, but I have a following drasha. Now he's actually quoting a brisa. Rabbi Yochanan didn't know this brisa and thought that Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos was on his own saying this. And that's why he says, ultimately, wow, ben Pidos is darshening like a Tana, because he actually was quoting a Tana over here. In any event, Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos asked to Rabbi Yochanan, the Braisa says, Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos is quoting a Braisa. He says, Ein li ela nimo lishmini. I know from the pasuk it says, Vayom hashmini, you have to go and do the bris milah. That tells me on the eighth day. Bedavka during the daytime. Ein li ela nimo lishmini, shein nimo ela bayom. So a person who's having a milah bismana on the eighth day can't have it at the start of the eighth day, which is nighttime, has to wait till the full eighth day has occurred. Very good. Minayin, now that's where the word minayin should be. Minayin l'rabos, it's not at the end, it should be at the beginning. Minayin l'rabos l'tisho l'asora l'yacharosor l'shneimosor. So Rashi reminds us, this is a famous Gemara in Shabbos, where you have a situation where a baby is born bein hashmoshos on Friday afternoon. So the bris milah is always then next week at that time. So baby's born on Friday, the bris milah will be the next Friday. Baby's born on Shabbos, the bris milah will be the next Shabbos. So a baby born on Shabbos is allowed to have a bris milah on Shabbos. A baby born on Friday is not allowed to have a bris milah done on Shabbos. This baby is born in the Bein HaShmoshos period of time. We're not sure, is it a Friday baby or a Shabbos baby? So the Mimanev Shach that we normally would say, if this was Tuesday, Wednesday, say do the bris milah on Wednesday. Mimanev Shach, if it's an 8th day, if it's Tuesday was the 8th day, so then you're doing the bris milah on the 9th day, Nishkeferlach. And if it's born on the 8th day, Wednesday, if it's born on Wednesday, so the 8th day is the following Wednesday, you're doing the bris milah bismana. That's great if it's a Tuesday, Wednesday. But if it's a Friday, Shabbos, so then you can't say, let's do the bris milah the next Friday, because maybe it's only a 7-day-old baby who's really born on Shabbos. But you can't do the bris milah on Shabbos, because that's great if the baby's born on Shabbos, then it's docha Shabbos. But if it was born on Friday, it's not docha Shabbos, because it's a 9-day-old baby. So therefore, that situation can occur. And likewise, if Sunday then is a yontif, so then you can't do it on yontif as well. And if it's Sunday and Monday are 2 days Rosh Hashanah, or Thursday and Friday are 2 days Rosh Hashanah, so then you can sometimes have it that a bris milah is done at the earliest possible time, sometimes on the 8th day, but sometimes on the 9th day, the 10th day, or the 11th day. And even the 12th day, when you have Rosh Hashanah, coming out on a Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and the child is born in the Bein HaShmoshos of Wednesday going into Thursday. So then you can't do it the following Wednesday, because it may be 7 days. You can't do it following Thursday, because it's Yontif of Rosh Hashanah. And if the baby was born on Wednesday, which was the bris milah should have been on Wednesday, that's Erev Rosh Hashanah. And you can't do it then on Rosh Hashanah, because it's not Docha Rosh Hashanah. It's not Docha Friday Rosh Hashanah. It's not Docha Shabbos. And therefore, it'll be done on the 12th day on Sunday. How do we know that all of this is true? Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos says to Rabbi Yochanan, because we dash in the word Uvayom. Talmud Lomar, Uvayom. And this Uvayom, the Vav, is being darshaned over here to teach us that this applies only during the daytime, even for these other days as well. And I'll show you that this drush is true. He says, Vafilu man de omer de lo darish Vav, even those that don't darshan the Vav. Not everybody darshans the Vav. We had this already previously. A machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't darshan the Vav. She says, Shelo bezmano nimol afilu belayla. He doesn't hold this drasha. This is Rabbi Elazar Shimon. But even according to him, where he doesn't hold the Vav over here by Bris Milah, even he does darshan Vav Vohei. When you have an extra Vav and an extra Hey, then even Rabbi Elazar Shimon is darshan. Where do we have the extra Hey and vav. So this is why v'hanosar. So it says v'hanosar mibasara zevach v'yom shlishi v'eishi sarev. There it says that if you have leftover and you didn't burn it after you were supposed to, so you're supposed to theoretically burn it after the, let's say, 2 days and the night in between for a shlamim, so you can't go and burn it that night of the third day. You have to wait till the third day. So it says, Vanosar mibzar hazevach, which is a shlamim, bayom hashlishi ba'eshi sarev, during the day, bayom hashlishi, and not during the night of the third day. So therefore, even Rav Elazar ben Shimon darshins this. So that's what Rav Elazar ben Pedas told Rav Yochanan. Ishtik, Rav Yochanan was silent. After Elizabeth thus left, Basa din Afak, he said to Reish Lakish, Amalei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, he says, wow, Ra'isi leven pedos shiyoshi v'dorish kamoshi v'bnei agvura. I just heard the most amazing thing from Ben Pedas. This is Rav Elizabeth Pedas. That's why I mentioned his name before, because Rav Yochanan calls him Ben Pedas. So this exposition that he had over here was phenomenal. And it was like Moshe Rabbeinu gave it on Har Sinai. So Amalei Reish Lakish, he says, why is it so strange? The day he, you really think it's his own? Like he's darshening it like Moshe Rabbeinu Piagura? No, Mastisa, this is the Brisa. So Rav Yochanan says, where's this Brisa? Where did he learn this Brisa? So Rav Reish Lakish tells him, B'Torahs Kohanim. This is the Brisa in Torahs Kohanim, which are the Brisas on Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra. So what did Rav Yochanan do? He said, I'm upset that I didn't know this. So Nofak Tanya B'Tlosayomi. So he went out there and spent 3 full days learning the Brisas of Torahs Kohanim. And then the Sabra B'Tlosa Yachay, and then he digested it, and it took him 3 full months to go and fully understand it. But that's what he felt. He had a deficiency in his learning that Rav Elazar ben Pedas taught him this Brisa, and he didn't know about it. So he put his mind to it to make sure that he would know this whole area of Torah. Okay. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Elazar said, we had the other day a whole discussion that a person who is an RL, or a person who is Tomei, is allowed to have the Mechata sprinkled on them. So here we're going to continue that discussion, and Rabbi Elazar tells us, Amar Rabbi Elazar, RL Shehiza, here the RL is not having it sprinkled on him, but the RL is going and sprinkling the Mechatas. So he goes and sprinkles it on somebody who is Tomei Meis. So is this a good sprinkling or not? Hazoso Kishera. Rabbi Elazar says, that's a perfectly valid sprinkling, not a problem. Why? Because he says, Midei dahavi yatful yom. We compare this RL to a tful yom. Sha'af apisha also be truma kosher b'parah. Just like a tful yom is not allowed to go and eat truma. That's one of the conditions of a tful yom. He can eat ma'aser sheni, but he can't eat truma. So too, he's allowed to do the para. That's why the RL is compared to this tful yom. Just like both of them can't eat truma, yet the tful yom can do the para adum activities, kosher b'parah. So too, the RL is kosher for para adum activities. Where it says, no, the tful yom has a leniency that the RL doesn't have. Mal tful yom, she came mutter b'maiser. A tful yom is allowed to eat maiser sheni, whereas an RL is not allowed to eat maiser sheni. So who says you can make this comparison? Where it says, what are you talking about? Atu anan liachila kamridan? Are we comparing over here the RL and tful yom in terms of eating? We're comparing it in terms of touching. Anan l'negiyah kamridan. And just like umat tful yom, she also b'negiyah de truma. A tful yom can't even touch truma. Nevertheless, he's mutter to do the paraduma. So then certainly, it's a kabbal chomer. An RL should mutter b'negiyah. An RL has no problem in touching truma. He doesn't metame it by touching it. So if the tful yom, who would be metame truma if he touched it, is allowed to do the paraduma activities, certainly an RL should mutter b'negiyah, and odin should mutter b'pari. He certainly would be allowed to go and do the paraduma activities. And a brisa supports this. Tani nami hochi. The brisa says, RL shehiza has also Kishera. If an RL did the hazah, it's a perfectly good hazah. And in fact, umaisa shahoya, umaisa hoya, v'chshiru chachamim hazah also. Once this happened, a RL put the mei paraduma on a person who was Tomei Meis, and after the fact, the rabbi said, absolutely okay, v'chshiru chachamim hazah also. So you have a brisa in support of this drasha. But the Gemara now is going to show us a brisa that seems to argue with this drasha. This brisa says, Tumtum Shekidesh. If a Tumtum was Makadesh, the Para Aduma waters. What did he do? He took the afer of the Para Aduma, the ashes of the Para Aduma, and he mixed it with the Mayim Chayim. So that's called Makadesh. So Tumtum Shekidesh, he made the Mechatos. He made the afer of the Para Aduma mixed with the Mayim Chayim. So in this situation, kiddusho pasul. It's no good. The Bryce says it's no good. Why? Mipneshu safek arel. The arel pasul lekadosh. Because he is a safek arel, and if he were a vadei arel, he wouldn't be allowed to do this. So as a safek, we don't let him do it as well. But clearly, you see from here that an arel is not allowed to be mekadosh the mechatas. He can't mix the ashes of the paraduma with the mayim chayim. Now, furthermore, it says the androgynous, this person who is both simone zacharis and simone naktvus, maybe he's a man, maybe he's a woman, maybe he's a birya b'fnei atzmo, if he does the kiddush, if he mixes the ashes of the paraduma with the mayim chayim, he kiddusho kosher, his kiddush is perfectly good. Rashi explains, why is that? Because we're dealing over here with an androgynous who is mo, whatever simone zacharis he had, they did a bris milah on it. And therefore, his Kiddushin is perfectly good. When he's Mekadesh, the Mechatas here, it's good. Because this Tanakhama holds Shafilu Isha Kisheru Lekadesh L'Rabbanon. And therefore, the Chachamim with the Tanakhama, the Rabbanon, they hold that Mimanavshach, if he's a man, he's not an Orel. He had a Bris Mila. And if he's a woman is perfectly good to do the Kiddush of the Mechatas. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. That's the Chachamim. Now, Rav Yehuda Omer, he holds no. A woman is not allowed to go and do the kiddush of the mechatos, and therefore, this androgynous, maybe he's a male and he would be allowed to because he had a bris milah, but maybe he's a woman and he's not allowed to, and therefore, v'nei sofik isha, the isha psulim lekadosh. The Rav Yehuda holds that a woman can't do it, therefore, a sofik isha, such as the androgynous, is not allowed to go and be mekadosh the mechatos. Now, what do we see from this brisa? Ketani miha, orel, the sofik orel, posul milikadesh. It says beferish that they're not allowed to go and be mekadesh the mechatos. Now, we're assuming here that if you can't be mekadesh it, you also can't sprinkle it. So this brisa contradicts the brisa that we just brought down that said that an orel is allowed to go and do the hazah. So we have the brisas that conflict with each other. So, Amar Rabbi Yosef says there are two different opinions. Haytano Tano Devei Rabbi Akiva, who the second brisa that we just brought down that says that an oral can't be Makadish and Mestoma, an oral therefore can't do the Hazos, is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. If you remember from the previous day's Shiurim, we had a famous machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer as to how we learn out that an oral can't eat Truma. And Rabbi Eliezer had the Xerushava of Toshav Sochir, and Rabbi Akiva had Ish Ish. He had a different pasuk. Then we went through what each one did with all the other ones' drushes. In any event, the author of the second Brisa said it says that an Orel can't do the Kiddush of the Mechatas and he can't do the Hazah. That goes like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who learned out that an Orel is like a Tomei. The Marbi Leili Orel Kit Tomei. Based upon his drasha, the Tanya, Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Ish, Ish. Now, it's talking there about a Betzora or a Zav, they're not allowed to go to any Truma, and then it was Marbe, Ish, Ish, to be Marbe the Orel. So, you see, that Rabbi Akiva compares the Orel to a Tame, Marbe Leili Orel Kit Tame, and therefore, the second Brisa says that the Orel is like a Tame person, just like a Tame person obviously can't do the Kiddush Mechatos or the sprinkling of the mechatas, it has to be ish tahar to do that. Therefore, that's how Rabbi Yehuda learns out that you can't do this. An orel can't do the hazor, an orel can't do the kiddush, because he holds like Rabbi Akiva. However, Rava doesn't like this answer from Rabbi Yosef. Amar Rava, Rava says, Havi Yasivna commanded Rabbi Yosef v'kashali. When I heard this explanation from Rabbi Yosef, the following thought came to me, and it bothered me. I had a kasha. Lolish tame tana velisnehi arel vatame v'leim Rabbi Kivahi. Why do we go and give this roundabout explanation over here? As Rashi points out, in Isa the Rabbi Akiva l'chol mili arel kitame mashvilei. If in fact Rabbi Akiva always compares the arel to the tame, so lolish tame tana ba'alma, then don't like remove every tana from the world and just give this listed over here in this somewhat anonymous way. The list linian maga tumas orel vatomek hiadode, instead of doing it the way you listed it, just specifically state the name of Rabbi Akiva. This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and therefore he compares the orel and the tome. Why did you do this in this roundabout way? Shmuel says, velo, don't we find that they are listed together? Voktani, it says Aril v'Tamei Pitur min Ariya. It says that both an Aril and a Tamei don't have the obligation for the Shlosh Regalim to go up to the Beis Hamikdash. So it says Aril v'Tamei. So therefore, it does say it sometimes together. So why are you so surprised that it doesn't say it over here? The reason why the Aril doesn't go up is because he's like the Tamei person. Just like the Tamei person can't go up, so too the Aril doesn't go up. So it seems to say it. So the Gemara says no. Rabbi would argue that Rav Yosef is still incorrect because Hasa Mishum Demoyas. The only reason it says over there the Aril and the Tamei is because both of them are Moz to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who doesn't have a circumcision, a person who's Tamei, they're somewhat Moz to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore this specific case they're compared. But Lav Dafka is in fact an Aril always compared to a Tamei. And this machlokis over here between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, the Azdula Tamayu, it goes in accord with their previously expressed opinions. What is that, the Tanya? Because we're in another Braisa. Now we have the Girsa of the Tanya, but the Rashash, as he often does, as well as we have always in the Saras Hashas and the Bach, but the Rashash also often makes these types of changes, and the Rashash says that this is actually a Mishnah in Parah, and it should be the Tanan. In any event, whether this is a Braisa or whether this is a Mishnah, the bottom line is that it supports this machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda the way we just explained it. And the Braisa says, Hakol Ksherim L'Kadesh, everybody is allowed to go and do the Kiddush of the Mechatos, with three exceptions. Chutz Mecheresh, Shota, V'Kotan. Cheresh, Shota, and Kotan aren't able to do this. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. Rav Yehuda, Machshir V'Kotan, he says, no, a Kotan can do it, but Uposo B'Isho V'Androgynous, he doesn't allow a woman or an androgynous to do this. So now we have these two shitas that the Tanakama says that a woman is allowed to go and do the mechatas, and that's why the androgynous, who is again mohol, so if he was a male, he's not an RL, and if he's a woman is allowed to do it according to the Tanakama, and that's why Yehuda says no, they can't, because he holds that posel b'ishav androgynous, he says that a woman can't do the kiddush, or an androgynous can't do the kiddush as well. What's the reasoning? My time of the Rabbanu. What's the reasoning for the Tanakama? Based upon the pasuk, it says, "D'chsev v'lochu la tomei me'afar sri fasachatos v'nasana lov mayim chayim okeli." So that pasuk tells us that the ones that were described in the previous psukim, which deal with the collection of the ashes of the paraduma, and then after they're collected, v'lochu la tomei me'afar sri fasachatos v'nasana lov mayim chayim okeli, then the next person, we'll see this discussion more in a second, he goes and mixes the water, the Mayim Chayim, with the collected ashes of the Paraduma. Now, Hanach de Basle B'Yasifah P'sulim Mekiddush. Hanach de K'sherim B'Yasifah K'sherim Mekiddush. So here we combine them. When we say, since it's in V'lochu, it means the same people. Whoever was kosher for the gathering of the ashes is also kosher to mix it with the Mayim Chayim. And anybody that's not kosher for the gathering of the ashes is also not permitted to go and mix it with the Mayim Chayim. Now, that's the Tanakama's understanding, that the gathering was allowed to be done by a woman, and therefore the mixing could be done by a woman as well. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Amaloch, Rav Yehuda would say to this Tanakama, the Chachamim, if you're correct, in Cain, name a Kroa V'lokach, my V'lokhu. Why did it say V'lokach? Because it says afterwards, V'nosan Olav Mayim Chayim Okeli. So you should have kept it consistent. It should have said V'lokach, V'nosan. Why did it say V'lokhu, V'nosan? My V'lokhu, what is it coming to teach in V'lokhu? To teach us, Da'afilu Hanach, T'psulim Hasam, Sherim Hocha. To even those that are not allowed, such as Rabbi Yehuda says, a katan, to go and gather, collect the ashes, are allowed to go and mix them with the Mayim Chayim. Da'afilu Hanach, T'psulim Hasam, by the gathering, they're nevertheless Sherim Hocha in terms of the mixing. So what says Ihachi Ishanami? So then why did Rabbi Yehuda say that only cotton is good, but he said that Isha and androgynous are not good? Because it says Vinosan, that's a lotion of masculine, Velo Nosna, Velo Vinosna. It didn't say that she can do it. So therefore it's coming to teach us to include by the Velochu comes to include the cotton, but it comes to exclude because it says Vinosan, not Velo Vinosna, to exclude a woman. No, that's what Rabbi Yehuda dashes these psukim. Why did the Chacham dash it that way? Rabbanan. Ikasiv v'lo kach v'nosan. If it had said v'lo kach v'nosan, so then have a meaning. You know what it was said? Shakol chad v'yoyv chad. Now Rashi in Yuma explains this as follows. Rashi in Yuma says that you would have thought ad shakol chad ha'ofar v'hu atzmo yitneyu alamayim. So you would have said it's the same exact person that had to do it, the gathering of the ashes and the mixing it with the mei chatas, with the mayim chayim. So therefore, Kasa Rechman of Elochu, the teachers know there could be two different people. Be Kasa Rechman of Elochu v'nosnu, so then it's, so keep it parallel and say v'nosnu, so then I would have said, ha v'mina, the shokli trey v'yavitrey, did you have to have davka two different people do it? So therefore, Kasa Rechman of Elochu and v'nosan, the teachers, dafilu shokli trey v'yavchad, that even if you have two people do one part and one person do the other part, either way, that's perfectly good. So they don't darshan it like Rabbi Yehuda did, they use it for this drasha. Now we turn to Ayin Gimel and Aleph just a little bit more, and then we'll conclude today's shir. One last drasha about the paraduma here. He's a tar al tomei. It says that a person who's tar can sprinkle on the tomei person who has the tumas mace. So that teaches us tar miklal shu tomei. Why do you call him tar? It means that he has an aspect of tomei on him, but nevertheless we call him tar. Who is such a person? Limin al tuyom shekashi v'para. Tuyom is a person that is mostly tar. They had some sort of, let's say they touched the sheretz, and they went to the mikvah, so they're now called the tuyom. They can eat, for example, maisa sheni, but they still can't eat truma until harav shemesh, until nightfall comes. So they went to the mikvah already, so they're a tuyom. So therefore, as well, he's still called tar to a certain extent, but that's what it means to come to be marbovir, that even a tuyom would be kosher to go and do the hazah of the para aduma. This is a great break point. With this, we stop today's shir.